think I may have told some of you in private conversation previously about an incident that happened back in ancient history when I was about 13 or 14. I was in second year at Kiama High School. That's the equivalent of today's year eight. It was between lessons, and on the back wall of the classroom, some of the girls were working on a canvas backdrop for our class performance of from Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice. We boys were all busily making various loud and unkind comments about their efforts. Our English teacher was an extraordinary small man who used to wear those heavy crepe rubber-soled shoes that were fashionable at that time. Consequently, we didn't hear him come into the room. He went across to the teacher's table, pulled out the chair, stood on the chair, and then on the table, and said rather loudly, "I am here." As you can imagine, the entire class dissolved into hysterical laughter. But such was the skill of this man as a teacher that he simply stepped down and he had 100% of our attention. As youngsters in that class, we were in the right place, we were having a good time, the teacher was present, but we needed to be reminded that not only was he there, but that he had something to say to us, and that what he had to say would require certain responses from us in terms of our behaviour. And it seems to me that there is a very real parallel between that English class and the situation we're in on any occasion when we look at the scriptures, in church services, in Bible studies, in our private reading. We're in the right place. If others are with us, we enjoy their company. God is present, but we need to be reminded that he has something to say to us and that what he has to say will require certain responses from us. So let me pray and then we'll explore some of these ideas together. God our Father, we thank you that you've promised us that your Holy Spirit will take the truth of your word and apply it to our hearts and minds so that we may serve you more effectively. We pray, Father, that he'll be about that special work tonight, that you will speak to us through him and challenge us, and having challenged us, that you would give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom we need to be obedient for Jesus' sake. Amen. As Christian believers, God is with us. Now, of course it's true, God is everywhere. And we can never be in a situation in this world where God is not there. But God has promised to be with every Christian in a very special way, by his Holy Spirit. That's one of the great foundation truths that Christians can cling to for strength and for comfort, especially when the going is tough for us or for those about whom we care. But we can go further and discover that when he was teaching his disciples about prayer, Jesus also made it clear that God is present in a very special way when his people are gathered together in a small number or a large one. Matthew 28 verse 20, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." We come together in one place, recognizing the presence of God, and for the very deliberate purpose of prayer and praise and hearing his word. And that's a wonderful privilege. It doesn't matter whether we've gathered with a couple of hundred or so in a larger service or just a handful in our Bible study group. The promise of Jesus stands sure that we have gathered with God in a special way. Indeed, that same promise stands true when just a couple of us get together to read the Bible and to pray. God is always the other member of the group. In one church where I worked, one of the study groups always had in the circle an empty chair with a Bible on it. That was to remind them that God had a place in the group and that he had something to contribute. Now, please don't hear me say that for this reason our times together in any form of Christian gathering need to be heavy, solemn and dull affairs. I don't believe that's the case for 1 minute. You only have to go to the book of Revelation, where John wrote about an uncountable number of saints around the throne of God, all singing and praising God and clearly having a joyful celebration together. When we gather, God is present, and that presence has to be recognised. He is present in a special way, and that must have some impact on our attitude and our behaviour. We ought not just to go on as if he were not there. As we begin our times of worship, indeed, whenever we open up the Bible, we ought to hear in our mind the voice of God saying, I'm here, but God is not just present as some sort of spectator. Just like the teacher in that classroom, God has something to say. He has something to say to his people because he wants us to know about himself. He wants us to know about the way he sees us. He wants us to know about the deep relationship that he wants us to have with him. He wants us to know about the way in which we ought to live if we are people who are in the sort of relationship with him that he has in mind. Back in the days of the Old Testament, the prophets left their hearers in no doubt about the fact that God had something to say. They preached to the Hebrew people, and as they did so, they thundered out the Hebrew equivalent of, "Thus says the Lord." Sometimes the message was one of warning. At other times it was a message of reassurance and encouragement. Sometimes it was to teach the people something new. At other times it reminded them of old truths which they needed to make sure they kept at the forefront of their minds as they went about their daily lives. But whatever it was, God had something to say, and the people needed to hear it. We have the Word of God because he has something to say to us. We have his Word written for us in the Bible. In the churches of our parish, and indeed in many others in our city, we are richly blessed. The Bible teachers in them are men who have a great concern to see that God's word is read and that its truth is taught. In our churches, God speaks week by week. My father had a quite severe and specialised hearing problem. As a result, he wore a special hearing aid. And there were some situations where background noises were such that Dad had to adjust his hearing aid so that those background noises were cut down, and then he was better able to hear the things that were being said to him. If he didn't do that, then the distractions made conversation pointless. I want to urge you and encourage you as strongly as ever I possibly can to let nothing interfere with your being with God's people on every possible occasion, and to let nothing distract you from hearing God's word and being helped to understand it. We need to hear what God is saying to us, and we cannot afford to be slipshod or careless about this whole matter. I also want to urge you to think about your attitude as you come to a service or to a study group. The Bible is going to be read. Someone is going to take steps to help us to understand what it says and see how it applies to our lives. There's a story told about old Canon David Knox, who was one of the great saints of the Anglican Church well before my time. As rector of one of the poshest Sydney churches, he was about to read the Bible in a service when one society lady leaned across and said something to the society lady sitting beside her. Canon Knox glared and thundered, "Madam, how dare you speak when I am about to read the Word of God?" Old Canon Knox didn't have an overblown opinion of his own importance, but he did recognise that when the Bible was about to be read, God was about to speak, and those present needed to allow nothing to prevent them from giving full attention to it. Do you come to your own Bible reading or to the sermon at church with the expectation that God is going to have something to say? Are you looking for what your God and Father has to say to you? Then again, if you're charged with the responsibility of reading the Bible in church, do you read it with the sort of care that's appropriate to reading a direct message from God? What sort of attitude to the Word of God are you demonstrating to and encouraging in your children and others who are round about you? Our God is present. When we gather as his people to read or study, he is not a silent spectator. He has something to say. But God does not talk for the sake of talking. When we come to his word, God expects us to respond. And this is where we come to the parable that Tom read for us and to the divisions that are referred to in the sermon title. Because I was trained as a primary school teacher many years ago, when I went into a school classroom to teach scripture, I gave an instruction to the students, perhaps foolishly, I actually expected that they would take notice of what I said and respond by doing as they were told. God expects a response. Jesus explained that the parable he told about the seed falling into various types of soil deals directly with the different sorts of responses that people have when God speaks to them. He describes four different responses, and we can recognise them and we'll find ourselves within them. But before we look at them, let me make two other things quite clear. Firstly, as a teacher of the Word of God, I ought not to be surprised, although I may be very disappointed, but I ought not to be surprised that people respond differently. Jesus warned us that this would be the case. And there will always be those who have minimal care about what God has to say, or who will have 1,001 other things ahead of their obedience to him. But secondly, the fact that Jesus warned that this would happen is no excuse. The question of how I respond to the Word of God is absolutely critical. And the fact that Jesus has warned that some will be careless about that word doesn't excuse any one of us if we allow ourselves to be found amongst the careless ones. So, what are these divisions that Jesus describes? Well, firstly, there's the ignorer. In the parable, this type of hearer is pictured by the hard path that separated one field from the next. Years of feet and cartwheels had packed down the soil on these tracks so hard that when the seed fell on it, there was no response at all. For this sort of hearer, God might just as well never have given us his word for all the good it does for them. Is that a picture of your response when God speaks in the services you attend, or when you read the Bible or hear it read? Are you someone who, when the Bible is being read and explained, has the sound waves hit your eardrum, but beyond that, never does anything about it? Or are you like the dabbler? This is the person pictured by the soil, which was so shallow that when the seed fell in it, there was an initial show of growth, but that soon disappeared when there was the slightest difficulty. Now, don't hear me wrong. It's not always easy to listen to what God says, and it's often even more difficult to do something about it. That's particularly true if you have friends or family who make fun of your Christian faith, or things to try to divert you away from obedience to Jesus. But as difficult as it may be, we have to resist those pressures which come upon us to dabble with the Word of God, but never really get serious about our obedience. Or maybe you're like what I've called the good starter. If you're a gardener, you'll have a great understanding of this situation. Weeds always seem to be stronger and grow more vigorously than the plants we're trying to cultivate. Jesus spoke of plants which begin to grow well, but they were overtaken by the weeds. And here Jesus gives us a picture of those who hear the word of God to them, and they really do have every intention of allowing that word to affect their thinking and their behaviour. But other things take over. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. The good starter always has a heap of good reasons as to why they're not doing anything about what God has said in his word. They can look to the worries of life, to family, to work, to community responsibilities. They can blame the need to make more money or the need to spend more money and energy and other resources on their day off, their hobby, their home, whatever else it may be. But friends, no matter how good the excuse may be, in the end, that's all they are. Excuses. And the result is precisely the same as the dabbler and the ignorer. Nothing. But then there is the obeyer. Here is the person who has come to the reading or the preaching of God's word with a sense of expectancy that God has something to say. They've already predisposed their minds to hear and to take in what is said. They've already predisposed their wills to be obedient. When God says, "I'm here," these people are ready to listen and are committed to act in obedience to the word of the one who's the creator of heaven and earth, the one who, through the death of Jesus, we're privileged to be able to call Father. When Ron Eisen stood on the table and said, "I am here," Class 2A at Kiama High School had a laugh. But we also responded. We recognised not only that he was present, but that he had something to say, and that we needed to listen and act. As those who love the Lord Jesus, we have the sure promise of the presence of God with us, and especially when we gather together. We have the knowledge that the God who is present is also the one who has something to say to us. And we're called upon, therefore, to align ourselves with the obedient ones and with a noble and good heart hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. I have to confess I've never been a great one for New Year's resolutions. However, if I were going to encourage you to make just one resolution and to work at keeping it this new year, let me point to what Jesus says just a little further on in verses 16 through to 18. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. There is nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, Consider carefully how you listen. How's that for a potent resolution that will make an enormous impact on your life or mine in 2014? This year, I will consider more carefully how I listen to what God says in His Word, and I will respond to His Word as an obeyer. Let's pray together. God our Father, we admit and acknowledge that too often we've been found amongst those who are ignorers or dabblers, or those who start out with good intentions but come to nothing as far as your word is concerned. We admit that far too often we either don't listen to what you have to say, or we forget, or we just go about life ignoring that you have said something to us. And Father, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you, please, that your Holy Spirit will be at work in your people in this church, that you would stir up in us a real desire to know what it is you have to say to us, and that you would give us courage and wisdom and grace and strength and all that we need to stand firm in the face of all of the pressures that come, and to be people who live in obedience to what your word has said to us. And Lord, we pray that you would in this way take your church in this place and stand us up, that we may be known as people who are people of the Word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.